CPA After Dark.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to CPA After Dark. I'm your host, Marit Bermud, CPA and EA. I never throw that in there, but I actually am an enrolled agent as well and a Main Street certified tax advisor. And I'm here with my beautiful co-host, Kristen Graham, fitness and nutrition trainer, business owner, real estate investor. She wears a million hats. And I'm so grateful to be hosting this podcast with her today because we are talking about how to write a business plan. Now, I know for me, I've always loved business ever since I was little. And in my early 20s, I wanted to start a business. And I had heard that you need a business plan in order to get funding, you know, from a bank, and you need a business plan. I even remember buying a book called Business Plans for Dummies. Because I didn't know how to write one. Now you can look on the internet and you can see different samples and templates of how to write a business plan, and they can get so overwhelming. And, you know, we wanted to kind of break it down into a simpler way for you to get your business plan and also let you know a reasons why you should have a business plan in the first place. So in my mind, I think having a business plan, even if you don't need an investor, is a good way for you to stay on track with your business. You know, if you have a business idea, getting down some of these basic concepts is going to be so helpful for you, almost like you're setting a goal in a way. We just talked about that in another episode, yeah. Didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like the first thing being like the concept, which is like your elevator pitch. I think when you really nail that down, it makes your business, it feels more vibrant and it feels like you believe in it too. So I think like that first piece is like the concept. It is such a powerful thing because it really says who you are, who your business is, and like what you do or what you do for people.
That's true. If you can't, if someone stops you in the middle of the street and asks you, oh, what do you do? What's your business about? You really want to have that elevator pitch down. You want to be able to tell them in, you know, 30 seconds what your business is, why you're doing it, why you're better than the rest. And Kristen, you're right. It gives you that really good starting point for knowing yourself, you know, because you look at these big corporations and they'll have, you know, their company motto, and then they'll have their values, their core values. And it goes deeper and deeper into these layers of, you know, company. What is it? Like the company,
it's like
morale,
your mission,
you know,
your mission statement.
Yeah. Mission statement. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All that stuff. So you don't have, but, and you'll see that and you'll see it in a business plan. You'll say, I don't know how to write a business, a mission statement. And how is that different than from our core values? And how does that make me different? And no. So for this business plan, if you want to write it, just start with your concept, your elevator pitch, why you're doing it, what your business is, why, you know, you are better than the rest. And you should be able to say it in 30 seconds if someone stops you on the street or do an Instagram or a TikTok or a social media post or reel as well to get it out there into the world.
Love it.
So number two, once you have your concept, what are your product and services going to be? I think people can have a lot of ideas and you kind of want to bring it down to maybe the first two or three that you're going to start with, right? Because you want to really have success with your first few products and or services. I love it about entrepreneurs because they're so creative. And they always are like, and I'll do this and I'll sell that and I'll offer this. And they can see the vision going on into the future. But you, here's the thing about a business plan. It's not just one time set in stone and then that's it. And you wrote it. And now that's, you know, you can't ever change it. No, they grow with you. They grow with your business. You're supposed to update them. You're supposed to add to them. They are supposed to get bigger and more in depth. So don't think that, you know, you're leaving all of these great ideas out to dry. You can write them down somewhere else before your business plan. Start with those first, I would say, two or three products or services that you want to focus on.
Yeah. And with that, too, you have to remember, like, if you have like two or three things that are like your bread and butter, these things are what makes you money. And then we love our entrepreneurs. We get creative and antsy and we want more, right? So you have these two or three things, then you have, you know, maybe you have like eight things now, right? You can't put all of your time and energy into the other things and forget about the two or three things that are already making you money. So remember that you have to continue to make money. So don't forget about the things that are already bringing you in an income. I find that a lot of people do that. They'll start something and it's like, oh, this is good. And I think this is going to be really good too. And they keep working towards something and it's just not quite there yet. Don't forget about the thing that's already bringing in money and clients and income. Remember that.
You're right. And I would add to that too, always make sure those are solid before you add on. Because I've seen this mistake a lot with business owners is they want to start doing another, you know, add an extra service in or do another product line. But their first product line or service is still gaining traction. Mm-hmm. And then as they start to focus on the new idea, the new product or service, the initial one will suffer because it's not getting enough attention. It's not getting, you know, what it needs in order to continue to be boosted and to boost the business. And then everything suffers. So mm-hmm. that's great. Yeah. Focus on what you've got until it's really, really solid. But then also don't think that just because it's solid, you can forget about it.
Right.
Yeah, that's good. I'll take the next one, which is the financial section of your business plan. So this one can really throw people off. You know, they think it's, you know, really a lot to go into, but let's just simplify it. Let's sit down and write up your startup costs. So just gather the amount of everything that you're going to need to start your business. Write down what you need, gather the costs for each thing. How much are you going to need to actually start it? Okay, that's A. B, you're going to want to look at your fixed costs. Now, fixed costs are the costs that do not change. So those are the ones you can depend on. That's like your electricity. You know, it's going to be relatively the same every month, or, you know, you're going to have to order certain things that you know are going to cost the same amount every time. Mm-hmm. Try to think of what are you going to be able to order that you know the prices that you can depend on. The next one would be your variable costs. So anything you're going to sell, how much is it going to cost? What's your profit going to be on it divided by your purchase price? And that's going to be your variable costs. And then finally, eventually you want to talk about your break-even point, which is what do you need in terms of variable costs and fixed costs? What do you need to cover both of those each month? Mm-hmm. So it really doesn't have to be so complicated that you fall into this deep financial section of the business plan. And you can look up all these concepts online if you're confused, and you can do them. You just have to start gathering pretty much the costs of what everything is going to cost you, mm-hmm. and then figure out how much you're going to charge for your services. And before you know it, your financial section is complete.
Yeah. And then that's going to bring us to like capital, which it could be one of two things. It could be, you know, if me and Mariko in a business together, it could be, okay, well, I'm going to put up We look at our financial breakdown that we just did with Marit, and we say like, okay, well, this is the number that we need. This is our magic number. So we could say, okay, I have to put in, say, $50,000 and Marit has to put in $50,000. But if we don't have that money that we need for the financial breakdown, then we might need to go and take out a loan or have somebody, you know, invest in our business. In which case you need this business plan that we're going over.
Right. And I would like to say there is a difference that you kind of need to be aware of between a partner and a lender when you are looking at the capital needs for your business. And make sure that you know what you're kind of agreeing to or what you're looking for. So if Kristen and I were to go to, you know, just an individual who was just going to loan us some money, and he's like, I don't want to be a part of the business. I want you to pay me back with interest, you know, or, you know, here's your money, pay me back on this schedule. And that would be a lender, that would be a loan. And then you have your partner, which is someone who's like, okay, I'm going to give you money, but I want a piece of your business. And I think a lot of people will call that an investor, but really an investor, when you look at what a traditional investor is, that's like on the SEC level.
Okay.
And so you're really, when you're really talking about someone who's giving you money, but they're not expecting to be paid back, and instead they want like a little share of your business. You know, I want a 10% share, right? A 10% piece of your business. Well, guess what? Mine and Kristen's partnership now just turned into a three-way partnership. That person now has a 10% interest. They're going to be getting a K-1 for their share, whether it's passive or active. That's not the point. So a lot of times you don't want to give away equity in your business for money. So I would say be careful on that. If you do need to bring someone in from the outside to infuse your business with cash, make sure that if they're asking you for a piece of, you know, a 10% or a 20% piece of your business, you are now officially entering into a partnership with them as well. They're a part of your business. And although you can structure the operating agreement any way you want, the theory stays the same. You now have a partner instead of a lender. Yes. So I think that's a good one to keep in mind, because a lot of people don't know that and they'll say, what? I have a partner. I'm like, yeah, they gave you money and they want a piece of your business. You're now in a partnership.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So you can talk about the next one, competition, because this one used to make me cringe when I'd have to think about the competition in my business. I was like, oh, I don't want to. Although competition's great, right? I'm sure you have a much different perspective on competition than I do.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about this in another episode where we were talking about fitness trainers, and the market for fitness trainers is completely saturated. Anybody that works out thinks that they can be a online coach or whatever. And they can be. I mean, anybody can do it. But you have to have a little something extra to bring people in to really put out a good product for people. And that's what's going to set you apart from everybody else. But just because there's people there that are competition that you might not see them as like a threat, that's not to say that there's not somebody that's going to hire them. They might not do the best job with somebody. But then it also could leave a bad taste in their mouth. And then it's like, well, I don't want to hire a fitness trainer because you don't get results with a fitness trainer or what have you. So you never know, like the competition could be something that maybe will give somebody a bad experience and maybe deter them from ever working with somebody in your business again. Or it could be somebody that's literally pulling, you know, potential clients away from you. And that always stinks. But I mean, there are so many people in the world. There's a market for everything and everyone. So don't let competition scare you. Just if you're going to put something like brick and mortar, make sure you're in an area where obviously it's not completely saturated. But I don't think competition really scares me. I think it almost inspires me because it makes me want to work harder and makes me keep upping my game and like upping my product. Where like for me, for my business, I used to do email check-ins. I mean, people still do email check-ins. Once a week, you get an email from your coach, whatever. I don't even send out emails anymore. My clients have my phone number and they text me, and I do face-to-face, like we do video chats with Zoom calls. So bi-weekly Zoom calls. So people get me face-to-face and they get me in real time, not, you know, once a week when I send my email, you know, every Thursday or whatever, everybody gets a check-in email. I don't work like that. When somebody works with me, they get me 100% of the time around the clock. So like that's one of the things that sets me apart. So I challenge people. It's like, okay, you can become a fitness trainer too. Good luck, because the amount of time that I put into my clients is going to be very different from the amount of time that you put in with your clients. So bring on the competition.
Yeah, I love that. And see, we're so different, because when I in the past would write, but I've changed a lot though. I've got a lot better. I'm not afraid of competition as much anymore. But I would look at it and I would let it bring me down. I would let it take me to this overwhelmed place of like, oh my gosh, there's so much competition. Like I just researched, you know, the same people in my industry and there's lists of them. There's so many. And I would have it actually, I would always stop at the competition part and it would always kind of make me feel overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And I really like how you brought up, just because there's competition doesn't mean it's good competition, because now as I've really settled into my industry and I've gotten to know, you know, the competition or just other people in my industry, I have realized there are some people out there that even though they could be competition because they're in the same industry, you know, they're doing a terrible job and they're not at all capable or qualified. Like you said, you could have people that are completely blowing it. So right there, you could say it's competition, but it's not. And then also, like you said, you can offer those special things to make you different. So when you're writing the competition part of your business plan, just take a deep breath and realize these things. Don't let it overwhelm you if you see that, you know, your market is saturated and there's so much competition that you're like, okay, well, why am I even trying? There just might be competition because the barrier to entry is low. It's easy for people to get into your industry, but it doesn't mean they're any good, right?
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean you can just put your head in the sand and be like, no, I don't want to know who else is out there. Because you can also learn from the people that are better than you, right? Not necessarily a bad thing either to surround yourself with people that are, I'm surrounded by plenty of people in my industry that are so smart, that push me all the time to be better. And I'm grateful for that. So,
yeah. And it's funny because one of the questions that I ask when I'm onboarding a new client, one of the questions that I ask is, what have you tried before and what worked and what didn't work? And quite often it's, you know, I've tried working with this trainer or I've tried like this protocol and I was unsuccessful. And we break down, I like to break down why it was unsuccessful. If it's something, you know, diet related or exercise related, I like to explain to them why they were unsuccessful with it and how they could do it differently to obtain the result that they were looking for. And a lot of times that wows them, you know, it's the ability to hear somebody. And when somebody explains to you why something didn't work, they get very emotional. And that's one of those like pain points, because it's like, I put effort into this and I feel like I failed. Either I failed or my coach failed me. And it's emotional and it stinks. And, you know, you put money into it, you put time into it, you put effort into it. And when it fails, it's rough. But I like to use that and, you know, figure out a way now to say like, okay, this doesn't work, but I can do this with you and you're going to have much success. So that's kind of one of the things I like to hit on is, and that really is bringing up my competition. Bring it to me.
And setting you apart. Yeah. And you know what? It's the same in my industry too. When we talk about money, that is one of the people's biggest pain points. Mm-hmm. And I've learned, you know, that my ability to, like you said, hear people, relate to them, and then design unique plans for them to implement on an individualized basis has totally been something that set me apart from the competition. So you have more inside of you than you probably think when you're first looking at all of this big list as you're writing your competition portion. There's probably a lot more about you than you even realize that sets you apart. And it's just no worry. You just, it's fine. Just, you know who they are and move on with your life.
Yeah.
So then the final one is marketing, your marketing plan. I wouldn't say I'm the best marketer, but that doesn't mean, once again, just like competition, I can ignore it. So if you're writing your business plan and you're like, marketing, I don't know anything about marketing. I just want to run my business. Well, the first thing you could do is watch some previous episodes of this podcast where we talk about how you need to diversify and put yourself out there on social media.
Yes, ma'am. Because I would
start for a marketing plan, right?
Yeah.
You're a good marketer. I'm going to let you lead this one.
Yeah. So especially with social media, you have, you know, marketing at your fingertips, right? You have Instagram, you have TikTok, you have YouTube. I love using YouTube because, like I always say, you can put out a long video, you can put out a lot of content, you can put out a lot of really good information, especially like how-to videos are amazing. Depending on the type of business that you have, like a how-to video, you'll kill it. And then you can repurpose that and put, you know, a clip on TikTok and Instagram and all those things. You can boost your posts so more people are going to see them. I mean, there's always like, you know, your business cards and things like that. You know, for me in fitness, being present and like showing up like I look like I follow my protocol definitely helps me to sell programs, because if I didn't look the part, then who's going to hire me? Or at least that's the way I think. I'm not hiring somebody that doesn't look fit. So
absolutely.
Yeah. I really think that's important. But you need to be visible. So, I mean, you could do billboards and all that stuff too, depending on what business you have. Maybe you are, you know, based in, you know, a certain city, and maybe billboards and stuff are a great option for you. But if you're somebody that needs to touch people like all over the world, or at least all over the country, social media, I think, is definitely where it's at. You could do Facebook ads, Instagram ads, you know, YouTube ads, and then you can make your own posts into like marketing advertisements, but not so like they're more organic. You can be organic with it. And people learn to know, love, and trust you, and then they want to hire you. So you need to be a specialist in your trade. And social media allows you to speak publicly and appear to be an expert in your trade.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really think what she's saying here is that marketing takes that bravery to make yourself visible. Because mm-hmm. I know a lot of people that will say, well, I put myself on Google Business, or it's like the Google Business yeah. thing where they search me and they're like, why am I not getting enough referrals? Or, you know, I joined this one networking group. And you have to really, if you really want to market and get yourself out there, you have to make yourself visible in any way that you can think of. And I think a lot of people don't really want to do that. They're like, hey, I want to get the clients, mm-hmm. but I don't want to actually do the work to put myself out there. And look, you don't have to be a marketing guru to have people realize who you are. I had a marketing person tell me one time that I wasn't doing a good job of marketing for clients on my Instagram. And I was like, well, that's not really what I'm trying to do. You know, at the time I was just trying to, like Kristen said, have people get to know me, love me, trust me, mm-hmm. put out some content there to help them. I was not out there to get clients in the first place. And then they continued on by asking me if I would help them do their taxes. So I thought that was kind of ironic. They had learned to trust me enough to ask me to help them through my crappy marketing. And, you know, I was kind of like, well, okay,
it did work.
It worked then. Yeah. So don't be too hard on yourself. Oh, I don't have a professional marketing team and, you know, I don't know anything about marketing. And so I know people that won't even put out an Instagram reel because they're like, it's not good enough. You just have to put something out there. You will get better at marketing. You will learn, you know, you learn over time. But if you're going to wait until you're really good at it, you're going to be waiting forever because you only get good by doing it. And then also on the, you know, within your own community, at least for me, it depends on your business, but like they're always saying to join the chamber and go to these networking things.
Yeah.
And,
especially, you know, local, if your business is something that's like local, for sure.
Local. Yeah. Or if you're selling products, join the farmers markets, mm-hmm. you know, do what you can to also in your community. Cause I think that builds confidence in yourself. Mm-hmm. And then if you can get content too.
Yeah, and, absolutely. Yeah.
Like Kristen said, repurpose it.
Repurpose it. Yeah. So. Yeah. That is the best because you've already done it. You've already done the work. So just repurpose it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. So just that made me think of when you said you were going to your fitness competitions and you had to take the camera with you mm-hmm. and you know, like start interviewing people. Yeah. And you're like, I can't do that because you'd always done silent workout videos before that. And you'd never just like been on camera.
Yeah.
But you did that. You started to market yourself. You mm-hmm. started to put yourself out there. And it wasn't easy for you either. I think a lot of people will just not do something because it's scary or it's overwhelming. But you did it too. So everybody's got to start somewhere.
You have to start somewhere. And typically, if you're uncomfortable, it's the right place to start. And you'll sweat and it'll be awkward and your voice might crack and that's okay. But the next time you hit it, you're going to be even better. And the next is going to be even better. So you'll get more comfortable. You just do. I don't know.
And happens. Your business plan will get better. So if you're uncomfortable writing this business plan, do it anyway. Even if you think it sucks, go through those topics we talked about. If you think your marketing's sucky, do it anyway. If you think your numbers aren't right, put them down anyway. Get your first plan out and know that you can refine it. You can revise it. Just get it out there. Get going. Come on, get on it. We need more. We need to boost this economy. We need people to share who they are and what they love.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I hope you guys like this video and let us know if you decide to build a business plan. Let us know how it goes. And if you have any questions, leave it in the comments below. And we will see you guys next time on CPA After Dark.